This is TucsonBusinessRadio.com, proud partner of the Business Radio X Network, streaming live from the Stuart Title Studio on Broadway. And now, it's Art and Commerce with your host, Robin Young.
Hi, I'm Robin Young, and this is the Arts and Commerce Podcast. Our goal is to bring together artists and arts organizations and businesses together to the mutual benefit of our wonderful community. I have two guests in the theater today. One is Michael Finlayson, and he's the artistic director of the Strada Company and the Two Box Center of the Arts, and Marianne Green, the executive director of the Tucson Fringe Festival. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Michael, first of all, tell me what the Strada Company is all about.
Well, several years ago, a bunch of actors and designers and artists, we worked at a place called Belleville Valley Theater on 6th Avenue. And that was when they were really fixing up downtown, obviously a project still undergone. But it got expensive, like Belleville Valley. So it closed on us while we were doing a lot of interesting and fun things. So we thought, how do we manage what we have built up already when there's no location anymore? Hence the name Strada, which is Italian for street. So we became a little intrepid at that point and tried to look at ways to which we could deliver arts content in alternative locations other than the big symphony house or the large museum, but bring the arts to the people instead of hoping they'll come to us. We've been at it for, I guess, about 7 or 8 years now, doing a little bit of things here, supporting other artists there. We also have a program where we support individual artists who are trying to look at an entrepreneurial point of view for their career. So working on that, we've got kind of a lot of programs, Robin.
Yeah, I noticed from your website that you are quite a busy man. Mm-hmm. So tell me about your background a little bit and how that, you know, you just told me how Strada Company came into fruition, but how did you...
Well, I was there as the artistic director last year at Beowulf, and one of the things we had success with, and I've been in the arts since, 1989. I ran my first company called the Unlikely Theater in Phoenix area. And we had a very intense business model with corporations and other nonprofits like Strada does today, and it was wildly successful for us. We never ran in the red, and we're not running in the red now. We're a profitable nonprofit. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, you just did.
Dang, I forgot I was on radio. So we wanted to work from that model of treating a nonprofit like a business. It's not a problem if you make money as a nonprofit. A nonprofit as a designation from the federal government isn't a curse. It just means you don't pay shareholders. So what we want to do is be able to empower people like Marianne Green and the Tucson Fringe Festival, for example, by raising money for them, sharing their content with other people, promoting when we can for them, but also doing that with individual artists because most of creativity in town is coming from individual artists instead of institutions.
Right.
And you can find that both in the way they sort of design their business model as artists and the way they problem solve. So we want to be able to empower the individual, and that's been something I've been doing for a long time.
Yeah, so speaking of fundraising, you have on Saturday night the Harry Potter Ball, charity ball. So tell me a little bit about that and how Marianne will bring her into the conversation in a second about how that's affecting her organization, the Tucson Fringe Festival.
Well, my father used to say, never make any decisions when you've had a beer or two. But Nicole Scott, our executive director over at Strada, and I were having a beer, and we thought it would be really fun to have a Harry Potter party. And then we thought, well, Tucson loves to dress up, and Tucson actually loves to support organizations that do good things. So I remembered it after the evening and contacted Lynn over at the Scottish Rite, who's been wonderful. Tucson Scottish Rite's a beautiful building to have anything in. And we came up with this sort of harebrained scheme to have a big costume party. And last year we raised $12,000.
Okay. Do you have a goal for this year?
Well, we'd like to meet that goal again. We find we're being challenged now by the hot weather, and people don't really want to dress up when they have a 112-degree day. But it's supposed to cool down over the weekend, so we're feeling good.
Oh, good. You'll get some rain. It'll feel a little bit more like England, I think.
Yeah, we had that last year, so it was really helpful. But it's a fun thing to do, and it's a fun party. And, you know, our charities like the Tucson Fringe Arizona Theater Company, Teen, Youth on Their Own, and Literacy Connects, all fantastic organizations doing fantastic work. So it's a pleasure to raise money for them.
Good. How do you get corporate sponsors to be involved with that? Is that something that you do on a regular basis?
Yes. Our two main sponsors this year are Nova Home Loans, Chris Lawler at Nova Home Loans, who's a Potterhead. He really likes Harry Potter, so helps if they've read the books.
I'm a Potterhead too, so.
And some great partners over at Assured Partners of Tucson, and an insurance underwriting firm. They've been fantastic. And I think once you develop content and in our case, transparency, it really helps for a corporate partner to want to be involved, and particularly if it's like an obviously fun event, to be able to go in there and dress up and really just go to a party. A lot of the galas that are in town are sit-down dinners and maybe a silent auction and all this. Right. This is just a straight-up party.
So how much – do you still have tickets available?
Yes, we do. Okay. Yes, we do. Not many, so if you're out there, I'd call today or visit our website at stratacompany.org. But we're getting to where we're going to be pretty full up, and it should be pretty lively.
That's for sure. Very good. Congratulations. That sounds very exciting to me. So, Marianne.
Hi.
As the executive director of the Tucson Fringe Festival, how does being a beneficiary of this organization help you out and affect your program?
It has a huge effect on us, and I can't thank Strata enough for allowing us to be a part of this. I still think of Tucson Fringe Festival as this like little fledgling thing that I scrape together every year. So to be in amongst Arizona Theater Company Teen and Literacy Connects and Youth on Their Own, it's really an honor. And last year, Michael was talking to me about this project, and again, I was honored to be to have Fringe be a part of it. And a month after the festival, he handed me a lovely check that allowed us to increase our marketing budget. So last year, our festival numbers almost doubled from the year before. And part of that had to do with some really great weather the weekend of the festival. But another part of that was in thanks to Harry Potter and the money that Michael was able to raise for us in Strata.
So tell me more about the Fringe Festival. It's how you founded it, or if you did.
I took over 2 years ago from two young women who actually graduated from University High, where I teach, and they decided to, in 2011, start this little fringe festival that operates under the same basic model as the 200 festivals around the world,
okay.
Which is that the festival supplies venues, tech support, marketing, and front of house for the artists, and the artists get 100% of the ticket revenue back. So basically what the Fringe Festival does is it provides the space so that the artists don't have to worry about all of that other stuff, and all they have to worry about is putting on a show and getting butts in seats.
Wow. So how do you get the space? The venues? Does somebody donate their venue?
Some of our venues are donated. Club Congress has donated space to us every year. Thank you very much. And Flycatcher, until this year, was one of our space donators. And then we rent some space at a pretty reasonable rate. We are a nonprofit also, so we get pretty good rates. And then, through donations from people like the Strata Company or Arizona Commission on the Arts, then we can pay those rental fees so that the artists continue to get the profits from their tickets.
And do you have a means at which the public can donate to you?
Of course. we're actually currently taking submissions for artists. So if artists want to be in the festival, our applications are open right now. And if you go on our website, you can find the applications, and you can also make a donation at tucsonfringe.org.
Well, and to suggest something, I mean, the Tucson Fringe, and one of the reasons its mission aligned with Strata is that it gives artists, entrepreneurs, a chance to get on the stage and make money. And so if they push their show, they have a full house, they do pretty well. But the Fringe is also like a perfect, I think, business partner, because it typically is walkable. So the businesses in the area of downtown and Fourth Avenue probably want to consider getting on board. The Fringe also does a Beer with a Bard. And they do where you go for it's a beer crawl between. Mm-hmm. I've been in it. That's why I'm pushing. You should see me next year. I'm coming off like a drunk. Dang it!
So you go, Tucson. Yeah. Beer's important.
So you go to these four different locations, and they realize the benefit of having the performance is there because people buy drinks, they get food, they do everything else. With the Fringe, it's a whole weekend, and right. people are walking by, the business is there.
Absolutely, and smart businesses will participate because it's good for them.
Yeah, we've got some great partners who we've been working with for the last few years. Just last year, Brooklyn Pizza and Sky Bar and 4th Avenue Yoga was one of our festival sponsors, and they gave us a little money. We sent a lot of business their way. The festival operates with each person that comes to the festival buys a $3 button that they wear all weekend, and that button gives them discounts at various restaurants and retail locations in and around 4th Avenue.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And not always easy to do. Rounding up sponsors like that is a lot of work, so congrats. So you said Fringe participants keep all the money they make.
Yeah.
So what would you say would be a normal take?
Well, like Michael was saying, it really depends. The artists kind of have to bust their butts to promote their show. We promote the whole festival and market the festival for the months leading up to it. We also try to match touring artists or people who are coming in from out of town with organizations that they might be connected with. So, for example, last year we had a deaf performer, and I happen to know a couple people at ASDB, so I hooked those two up, and she sold her house out. She had the front two rows full of people from the deaf community, and
that is fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really great. That's one of my things that I really love about when you combine arts and business, is that you really get a community level commitment. And you bring people together in a way that just trying to say, oh, here's a business and talk to a business. And another thing is, I'll just put this interjection and let you tell me what you think. A lot of people I talk to say, well, what does art have to do with business? And I say, well, for most artists, their art is their business. That's how they want to live.
Yeah.
And they need a livelihood. And so those things do go hand in hand. It's not, you know, oh, I'm an artist. I'm a flighty person and I don't have a business acumen. And if they don't have a business acumen, they need somebody who does.
Well, I would posit two ideas here. One, the Apple Corporation became a big deal because of design, not because of function.
Absolutely.
They're absolutely pretty things. And the second would be that on average, every person who goes to an art event, whether it's going to the museum or the Tucson Fringe or just going to the theater or something, and this is, I think, the Arts Foundation of Tucson, Southern Arizona's numbers from a couple of years ago. They did a survey. They put about $25 to $35 into other businesses while they're out. So for my money, and this is the reason why we work together and not against one another's arts organizations, is because our enemy is the couch.
Absolutely.
If people sit at home on the couch, everybody loses. So people aren't going to Rome these days to go see Fiat. They're going to Rome to see all the arts that there. So that's always going to be true, that people go out for that kind of content and entertainment. So it's always been good for business. It's just always been easy for business to go, these guys are going to do it anyway.
Okay. I see your point. Right. You're going to do it anyway. So they're just going to sit back and benefit from it.
But we do have great partners who realize that, and it's both our organizations and obviously Arizona Theater Company and Literacy Connects and Youth on Their Own have a lot of corporate partners. And we have more robust corporations moving into Tucson every day. So having those partners and letting them learn about us is going to be some advantage to both of us.
Oh, absolutely. So, Michael, what's coming up after the ball? I know you are a very busy man and you have a lot of things going on, so.
Well, one of the things we're doing right now is our Arts Radio Tucson program, where we've bought some underwriting from Arizona Public Media so we can support individual artists. Recently, Joanna Lundy, who's the principal horn player for the Tucson Symphony, commissioned her own pieces for the French horn. Played them, recorded them, and we've been supporting that both through Arts Radio Tucson and with some cash donations, because it's something made that's new, and it's very impressive. In March, we're going to be doing a pretty large production called Nicole's Home for Wayward Girls. It's called that because, gosh knows, you have to be a little wayward to get into the arts, and it's an all-female program of some of the finer performing artists in Tucson who are women. And we'll be doing that to Leo Rich. And If we get it underwritten and we're about halfway there, we'll probably make a donation. We're still looking for donation partners, but we'll probably make donations from that. I hope Marianne will be in it, but I know she's shy. So it's
I don't know. Shine a spotlight on me and I'm a whole new person.
Okay. Exactly.
We're going to give that a try. We'll
elevator a try. About 8 feet. And
that's it. That's it.
But that's the kind of thing we want to do, is be able to find ways to empower individual artists. We have a persistence program that we did where one particular artist, Alana Richardson, who's a bass player at Southern Arizona Symphony Orchestra, we raised money for her to tour South Africa. So a lot of artists go to those kinds of platforms like GoFundMe, and they lose a percentage of it, and they have to reach certain goals. We do a cost-free, like you donate to Strata and you designate it to X artist. We make sure they get it.
That's fantastic.
So they can grow their business, and all those relationships, as in business and individual artists and nonprofits, really help every organization, in my view. So
you both wear a lot of hats that we haven't even discussed yet today. So what are some of those hats, and how do they tie into what you're doing now, and kind of where you want to see yourself going and Arts in Tucson going?
My biggest hat that I wear for the most hours of the day is as a high school theater teacher at Rincon and University High. And so for my students to be able to see that, that I'm working in the theater outside of school, like I'm not just a teacher,
right?
You know, in just in quotation marks. And to see that there are other avenues besides just being a performer. There's so many other ways into the theater. And then especially with the Fringe Festival, for them to see that it's not just Shakespeare, it's not just Neil Simon, it's, you know, acro, it's stand-up, it's performance art, it's multimedia, dance, you know, for me to be able to expand their definition of what theater and performance is.
Now, have any of your students gone on to do...
They haven't done shows. The last 2 years, I've had students intern. So they work behind the scenes, either on the lighter soundboard at one of our venues, or they're at the front of the house working the box office. And we've had a couple that have come back for the last 2 or 3 years. And then they come back to the classroom and tell the freshmen and sophomores. And so the freshmen come to me and they're like, oh, are you doing the Fringe Festival next year?
That's
really exciting.
Yeah, that's super exciting. Wow. I wish you had been my drama teacher in high school. There's something else that you belong to.
I do a late night series called Etc. And it's a little experimental. It's a little bit like the Fringe. We produce local new works. Sometimes it's a straight play. Sometimes it's more of a performance art multimedia piece. And I got into that kind of the same way I got into Fringe, in that I was an artist first. In 2013, I wrote a show, and it needed a home, and Fringe was its home. And I loved it so much that I took it over. And same thing with Etc. I had an idea, and the people at Live Theater Workshop said, we have a space for you. And now I help to create that space for other artists, which I'm finding that I love.
I can see it on your face. if the world could see your face now. And that's wonderful, because sometimes when you take on something that you love and you have to work at it, the love kind of dissipates a little bit.
Yeah.
So see you, you know, the joy on your face is really quite, what's the word I'm
palpable.
Looking for? Palpable. There you go. That's a good word for it.
She's a teacher.
Yes, I know. So, Michael, what about you?
One of the other things I do is I'm the artistic director of the Tubac Center of the Arts, which might be an almost perfect example of how an arts organization can work with businesses. Because they're at the center of Tubac, a lovely little town in the south, and they have business relationships with all the restaurants, with all the galleries. I mean, it is a perfectly threaded, mutually beneficial relationship between that center of the arts and the rest of the little village. So it's interesting to take lessons from that and try to bring them to Tucson. You would think it would go the other way, but I think sometimes alternative and innovative, even rural communities can sort things out that we just can't see here, because we're used to doing things the way we've already always done them.
Yeah. Well, I think as somebody that is new back to Tucson, I grew up here, went away for about 30 years and came back, I saw Tubac immediately as an arts community. It just seemed that that's what that was, it was there for nowadays, which I don't remember that when I was a child. I think we would go to Tumacockery and see the mission, and then that was kind of it. But now it's very vibrant.
And they've really grown that well, and they've grown it smartly. So it's not, you know, suddenly covered with a bunch of unnecessary or unimportant businesses to the theme. They have a theme as a small town. They're a small arts town with history. Yep. The whole area is sort of a center of art and history in Santa Cruz Valley. They have fantastic partnerships with the Chamber of Commerce. They work with local cities like Green Valley and Rio Rico and Nogales. It's pretty well run, and I'm saying that just because I'm the artistic director. The woman who runs it, Karen Topping, she's the smart one. So it's really been a pleasure to work there, and they're more innovative than you think. It's not just all country western art out there. It's not.
Oh, not at all.
There's some really fun and innovative things going on both at our organization, the Tubac Center of the Arts, and other communities and other galleries, and even the Mission. They did an exhibition with us this year, so if you end up just going to Mission, we'll find you. We'll find you somehow.
Well, and there's also good food there, so it's a great way to spend an entire day. But I need to bring it back to Tucson. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I thought about was with your different organizations, you know, do you have kind of a set of pipe dreams that you're hoping for or things that you see that...
Besides world domination?
World domination, well, if you want, we'll partner.
The future's female?
Well, it is.
Yeah. Sorry, Michael.
I'm in the room.
Shh, we won't tell. Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, what's on your wish list for, say, the next 5 years? Where do you see the growth, and what do we need to get that growth?
For Fringe personally, my goal is to have literally no one say the What Festival. That's all. Dream small.
No, dream big. Today we're gonna dream big.
I want. Again, what I find most joy in is creating space for artists to do what they do best. And so if Fringe could have its own super awesome space downtown in this like growing warehouse arts community, that we could just open our doors and let the artists do what they do and we worry about the business end of it, that would be my dream for Fringe.
That sounds wonderful.
Well, and specific to the Fringe, if I can just say, the San Diego Fringe started a year after the Tucson Fringe, and they were able to really communicate. I mean, they had a bigger staff, but they were able to communicate with business partners about the need to. Now, Tucson Fringe is one, San Diego Fringe is one of the biggest in the world in, 4 or 5 years, because they have such fantastic corporate relationships. And those corporate and business relationships are benefiting from this festival. And I think as a model, that maybe that's what Marianne is looking for, because I think downtown Tucson, if the Fringe grows, downtown Tucson's going to see a fantastic benefit. Even Mayor Rothschild is a big fan of the sort of festival look of downtown. So
yeah, he seems to be a champion for the arts here.
Yeah.
So I see him at the jazz festival. I've seen him at the museum and all kinds of places. So he's a good guy for that. And, you know, obviously, government is that third leg between nonprofits and business, but that's something that what Strata does and the way we see the future is we want to make sure that organizations that are really valuable, like the Tucson Fringe and the ones we're supporting, the Harry Potter Charity Ball, are able to flourish in what they're trying to do artistically. But also, and we talked about this before a little bit, artists are really great problem solvers.
Right.
You know, if you want a problem solved, you should talk to somebody who's creative, because they do that all the time. I mean, every time they begin a piece, it's a problem they have to solve. So integrating the business community and the arts community in a way that is mutually beneficial will grow the town. It's called creative placemaking because that's a nice name for it. But what they do is artists and artistic groups go into an area of town. They make it look nice. They do artistic things. People go to that part of town. Suddenly restaurants are opening, it grows, and then sadly ours get, you know, priced out and have to go somewhere else. But To my mind, the...
That's the circle of life. That's the circle of life. I think that is the circle of life for artists.
I literally heard the Lion King in my head when I said...
I know. I act towards music sometimes. sometimes really silly music. Just a break. We're listening to Arts and Commerce with Robin Young, live from the Stewart Studio in Tucson, Arizona. So back to what we were talking about. When we were talking about government... How much, or if any, of your funding do you get via grants? Because I know grant writing is a major portion of running a nonprofit. Are you finding that easy or difficult? Or?
I am learning on the fly. I took the festival over in its entirety last year. And so every time something needs to be done, I have to learn how to do it. And so grant writing is, it doesn't come naturally to me. But yeah, we get about a third of our budget from grants, so it's super important for us. And a huge thank you to the Arts Commission of Tucson and Southern Arizona, and again to Strata. But yeah, I learned a little bit from Michael.
Didn't you just get the Arizona Commission of the Arts grant?
We did. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. I was fumbling for words, and he caught me.
Congratulations, that's wonderful.
But yeah, actually, I for real, do learn a lot from Michael, and every once in a while I call him, and I'm like, how do I fill out the this, or where's the this form, or what does that mean? And he walks me through it, so I'm learning on the fly, and it's, yeah.
Well, good for you, and congratulations on getting a probably not so easy to get grant. What about you, Michael? What about Strata Company?
We haven't yet applied for any government grants because to a certain extent, what we wanted to be able to show was that it's possible to run an artistic career, an artistic business without necessarily needing financial support from major institutions. Now, we did just file a grant with the National Endowment of the Arts in support of the Nicole's Home for Wayward Girls, the women's program, because that will be a fairly expensive thing. But generally, we feel like the profitability of it will support it going down the line. So when we do decide to maybe write a grant for something, we want it to be closer to venture capital than it is to give us money because we need money.
Right.
In a case like the Tucson Fringe, as they grow, the city and the state will be inclined to support them because they also bring tremendous benefit business-wise. So to a certain extent, there's a bit of a reward there. I mean, that's why they support like All Souls Procession and things like that. It doesn't necessarily seem like it has a clear endpoint. It doesn't make money just by doing the All Souls Procession. But the amount of businesses that benefit is tremendous, you know, hotels, restaurants, et cetera.
You get a crowd there and they stay late and they, you know, they come early and they stay late.
Shop all along the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's been a learning curve for me because I'm used to – like with high school shows or theater in general, I sell it as like, this is fun and you should want to do this. But then when you're asking people to give you money, you have to explain to them how it's going to benefit them and how it's going to benefit, you know, the neighborhood or the downtown and the community at large. So learning to just sell what you're doing in a different way, use different words, and just look at it from a different aspect. It's a foreign language to me, but I'm learning it.
Well, I think she's pretty close. I mean, most of the times that I've talked to, like with the wonderful Chris Lawler from Nova Home Loans, a very supportive guy, I said, well, Chris, this is just going to be a lot of fun. First and foremost, it's going to be a lot of fun. And when you and your people come, I want you to have fun too. I don't want you to sit there and worry about your brand. I'll take care of that. I'll put up your sign. Well, thank you. Everyone will know it was you. But come and have fun.
Yeah.
Same with Assured Partners of Arizona. They felt like this is a fun event they want to be attached to. So being able to have those conversations is important. And I think again, it's every business benefits when people get off their couch and go out and do something.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. And Tucson is such a beautiful town. You know, it's and I think the downtown area from when I left in the mid-80s has just done a beautiful job at becoming a vibrant place and a fun place to be.
There's a lot of so many cool little spaces downtown. Just in looking for venues for the festival, I've discovered so many neat little, you know, galleries and the micro cinema and all these strange little spaces, the Zero Craft makerspace in the Steinfeld warehouse.
Like, yeah, yeah. It's nice to see the creative use of buildings. I mean, even the old hotels on Miracle Mile have turned into art venues,
yeah,
which is fantastic. I mean, those used to be, that used to be a really scary road to go down. And now it's, you know, filled with art and music and, you know, little galleries. And it's, I think it's very impressive. And it says a lot about what Tucson cares about. I think the care is there. And so, but I do often hear people say, well, I don't, there's nothing going on in Tucson. And I want to shake them and say, are you crazy? There's all kinds of things. Like every night you can hear live music if you want.
Well, we are, you know, I think the arts organizations and individual arts are challenged. That's part of the reason we did the Arts Radio Tucson thing. They are challenged because print media is sort of in decline. So you probably remember from the 80s when you picked up a Tucson Weekly, sometimes it was hard to carry.
Right.
You know, not to speak ill of the Tucson Weekly. I'm not up for best of anything, so why not? but it, you know, the
it's a lot thinner than it used to be.
They're like other people who had to suffer through the crash. They had to make some business decisions about how to continue to do what they're doing. And you know, we've many of the other theater organizations I've worked with have said we can't even get reviewed, and that's kind of the thing. So we're looking at the possibility of hiring a reviewer for Strata so that people, they get to go see these shows and they get actual reviews.
That's a great idea, because I think that is part of the advent of going digital, is that people don't know where to look. There's not a common source for one thing. And I honestly, outside of seeing reviews on IMDb for films, you don't see a lot of that anymore. Which
theater more or less lives and dies by it. And, you know, you even think about like an art opening on one of the Sixth Street art galleries. I mean, they really, they have to go with a list they built. And that's important for arts organizations to build that email list. But they're still probably looking at 30% opens at the best. And you have to try to find a way to get your name out. And certainly the digital tools are the way to do it. It's the cheapest and most efficient.
Oh, yeah. So, the first time I ever did an art walk, we had nobody. You know, we had no list of anything. It was a nonprofit. It was our first art event. And we went to Twitter the day of. I said, oh, I guess maybe I should open a Twitter account. We had 800 people show up because of Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, just a few hours worth of tweeting.
Shout out to our social media interns that are straight out of college.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think maybe there's a way to start using digital media and finding a coalition there to bring that kind of, you know, reviews and let this, you know, because people can get so involved in reviewing as opposed to just reading a review in a newspaper that nobody's picking up anymore, sadly.
Yeah, and they, you know, it's nice that newspapers will post it digitally so they can share it, but sometimes they just don't see the show because they don't have the personnel to do it anymore. And I know right. Kathy pretty well, Kathy Allen from Tucson, Arizona Daily Star. And she does her best. I mean, she's sort of like Marianne. I don't know how she sleeps.
She might not.
I mean, she tries to see as much as possible, but there's only so many, you know, column inches, as they say. And sometimes it just ends up online, or sometimes she can't do it.
Right. And there's been many times when she said, you know, oh, I wish I could. You know, I wish I could give you the column inches, or I wish I could come see the show. And yeah.
Right. Oh.
So it's not for lack of want.
Right, right.
It's just where do we, you know, I think we have to learn, especially those of us of a certain age, have to learn to adapt.
I'm on radio, I'm 22.
Well, then I'm 7, so.
We get to be as old as we want to be today.
But yeah, we have to learn how to use things like Twitter and Instagram and you know, Facebook, I think, even is sort of a thing of the past. But learn how to manipulate those to our best advantage.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, especially when you're talking about the younger generation. Sorry, kids. Sorry for calling you kids. They're so adept at it. And so for us to come from that age of print and that age of, you know, maybe making a phone call to somebody and saying, hey, I saw this really great show. You should go see it. Or do you want to come with me to this thing? You know, it's like, oh, events on Facebook. So I'll go. I'm interested in seeing that. So I'll go see that. And I think, you know, we have to adapt to that. And so one of the ways in which we do it is probably using organizations much like Strata Company to build those coalitions and get...
Well, it's, you know, it is tough to get everybody to play nice in the sandbox because we're all worried about our own thing.
Right.
And it's understandable, but we will benefit from it. I mean, in terms of being able to recognize our business sponsors, you know, I had 42,000, 43,000 looks at the Harry Potter page. So our business sponsor got more from just being on our events page than they would have if we'd taken out an ad and, you know, in X magazine or even putting it on our own website. Their name is out there a lot more often, and they can click on the name and go see who they are, or like Home Loan. I could use one of those, actually. Insurance, who doesn't need that?
Yeah, I think in terms of like if we're offering, oh, we can put your name on the back of our shirt, or we can put your logo and a link on our website, you know, the website's going to win every time.
And the link on the website is really important. Yeah. Having links that don't go, or having URLs, or I'm sorry, logos that don't go anywhere
isn't helpful at all. Yeah, right, you always assume that as soon as you scroll over something that you're going to be able to click it now. And when it doesn't, you're like, what is this?
But that does, it benefits the sponsor a great deal.
Yeah.
You know, they get a lot more looks than they would from people that might not normally think of them.
Yeah.
So, I've kind of already asked you your wish list.
Well, world peace first.
World peace.
I think, you know, I don't want to speak for Marianne, but I think what we like to do is Tucson is an arts town, and that isn't, you know, there's this idea that the arts are some kind of luxury. But that's categorically not true. I think at the end of the crash, the local Arts Foundation, now Arts Foundation Tucson, Southern Arizona, had done a study when Roberto Bedoya was there about the economic impact. And when the economy was really suffering, it was still $89 million to Tucson Metro. It's probably much higher than that now. There are more companies, there are more things going on that are arts-related than there have been in quite some time. But if you think about every time somebody goes out, and we can include movies in this because those are art forms too.
Absolutely. It
could be the screening room downtown and somebody made a movie. Every time somebody goes out to see a friend show or to see a play or go to an art exhibition or check out the symphony or the or just to go see a band, every time somebody goes to visit something for the arts, it helps business. And being an arts town hasn't hurt anybody.
Absolutely not.
It's actually starting to revivify places like Detroit. And Oakland is really coming up as a community now. When it used to be, well, we stay on this side of the bay. I'm from Oakland, so I can't.
Okay. I'm from San Francisco. No
the
wonder
we're from San Francisco. Yeah. So,
and, you know, those places have really robust arts groups doing fantastic things. And people are starting to take the BART and check it out in Oakland and, again, in Detroit. And if you are from New York and haven't been back in 20 years, you will not recognize Bedford Stuy or Brooklyn. Those places are very different because of the youthful energy of the arts.
Well, and I think that's one thing that Strata and another thing that Strata and Fringe have in common is that we bring the arts to places that you might not expect the arts to be in. Like with Beer with the Bard, we do Shakespeare in the Surly Wench. You know, you don't go down to the Surly Wench and often expect to see a Shakespeare play. You know, in warehouses, in art galleries, on the street. And so I think one of our tenets is to make arts accessible to everyone and kind of, okay, if you're not going to come to the arts, we're going to bring the arts to you, whether you like it or not. And hey, guess what? You're going to like it.
You're going to really like it. And yeah, and I think, you know, you both touched on fun. And it is fun. And I think there might be a misnomer out there that art is also not fun, that it's highfalutin and you know,
theater. Fringe is not theater, it's theater.
Yeah.
Well, I know this didn't happen when they took me to a theater play when I was a young kid, like Marianne does with her students, but I have seen a lot of young kids go to the symphony and a lot of young kids go to the museum, and it seems like a nice thing to do, but kind of a little scary.
Right. That's for other people to do.
And sort of the intimidation of the concert hall, the museum, can be sort of undone by, oh, I know what that's like. I saw it at my school, or I saw it at this public park, or I saw it at Jackson Plaza. We're also trying to work with downtown Tucson to do some performances right there in the plaza next to the mayor's office, just to remind him there's art. louder. He's on break. So, you know, being able to bring that there makes it more likely that when these people decide they want to spend that extra money to go see, like last year I saw Yo-Yo Ma, it's going to be worth it. They don't feel like they should just Google it, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah, because there's nothing like seeing artistic expression live, right? You can watch YouTube till you're blue in the face, but it's not the same thing.
I honestly wasn't that big a fan of Van Gogh until I went to school in England and I saw the impasto, the how thick the paint is on the
yes,
and you're like, this is practically in 3D. Do people know this?
I am with you on this one. I went to the D'Orsay and into the Van Gogh room, and I literally got as close as I could to the paintings.
Before the alarms went off?
Before I got arrested, because I was so fascinated with how each brush stroke is so thick and has a million colors in it, right? It's just and when you look far away, it's like, oh, that's yellow. It's not yellow. It's blue and yellow and pink and
it's all
orange
kinds
and
of things.
It's amazing.
It's sort of, Ferris Bueller effect. I don't know if you've ever seen Ferris Bueller's
there.
But they go and they look at the famous Georges Seurat painting, and it's a pointillism, and they just keep getting closer and closer. Mm-hmm. And you can't see that on Google.
Right.
I mean, maybe someday they'll have
when I take my students to, well, we often take them to the matinees at Arizona Theater Company and at the U of A, but mostly Arizona Theater Company. They've never been inside that building before, and every aspect of that experience is exciting to them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you walk into the Temple of Music and Art, even the you know, the fountain in front. You know, we've been by it 100 times, but they've never seen that little fountain, and how cool is that? And they walk in, and there's this balcony and this gorgeous proscenium theater, and all of it is brand new and exciting for them, and to just watch their faces and
Because people don't realize that's in Tucson. They think they have to go to Paris to get that, right?
Yeah, or they think this is something that grown-ups do or fancy people do. And, you know, so to watch them realize that it's for them and they can experience it and be excited by it.
Right. And it really touches lives. And I think anything that we can do is help, especially kids, see that there's a creative life that is not boring and is not inaccessible is a great gift to them, right? They're going to make the next level of art.
And since Jasmine isn't here, I'll just make a little plug about Arizona Theater Company, their teen program that she's running. She does really awesome things with them on the weekends and in the afternoons when they're not, you know, the outside of their school experience. And she does a fantastic job of getting the behind-the-scenes people and the business people in to talk to the students about all the, kind of like I was saying, the 8 million other people that put theater together besides just the performers that you see. So she does a really great job of opening the kids' eyes to that side too.
Oh, that's great because, you know, my daughter was an artist growing up, and I used to say to her, you know, you don't have to stand on a street corner, you know, with a tin cup like your grandmother's telling you you will. You can be a number of things, any hundreds of things as a visual artist you can be.
Yeah. And one of the things I wanted to bring up in that regard is we're developing this program called Strata 20. And the reason we're doing that is because sometimes arts groups, major arts organizations, have K-12 stuff. And then their entire audience is older than me, although I'm only 22. are senior citizens or retirees.
Right.
So that great swell of people in between don't see artwork that matches their experience and don't have a way to engage. So what we wanted to look at is how do we both convince the larger arts organizations that that's something they should look at, but also, like with our persistence project, how do we help these artists get off their own couch and sort of show them that there's this way forward? Because we all believe we can be an artist when we're 16. In fact, we sort of expect it. I was pretty sure I would be picking up an Oscar this year, but, and I might, you never know. But once you get to be 18 or 20 or 21, or you've gotten out of college, nobody wants you to do that.
Right. You know? The practical son.
Yeah.
Or daughter.
So somehow it's better, you know, getting a job at a fast food restaurant than maybe trying to figure out how you can sell your music online.
Right.
Sometimes people know how to do that. So what we want to do is develop a program where, you know, we help people figure that out. How do you monetize your talents in a way that isn't, you know,
belittling,
ruin it?
Yeah.
Because that's a problem too. But
right, because I think the idea of the selling out, you know, that still lives in a lot of artists' heads, right? If I'm getting money from these people, then maybe I'm selling out.
I don't think any of our fringe artists think they're selling out.
Well, they shouldn't. Absolutely
they're
not.
Happy, and they're happy to sell out.
Yeah. I don't think any artists. I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and we were talking about a band that was on the cusp of real greatness on the East Coast, and they did a tour that was sponsored, that was underwritten by a major corporation, and all of a sudden their fans went away. because they thought you sold out.
Yeah.
And that really saddens me to think that people feel that they have to, you know, they have to shoe money in order
to. It could just be like hipster lifestyles. Like, oh, everybody else discovered them. I don't like them anymore.
Right.
I have to find another no-name band nobody knows anything about. I know a lot of musicians, and that I'll be happy to tour under the aegis of a major corporation. So.
Oh, exactly.
I will say that the fringe model is it's a really great model, and then the fact that there are these festivals all over the world kind of helps remind you that Tucson is part of something bigger. We have some of our artists who have started out at the Tucson Fringe Festival, and then now they're touring fringes all over.
Tyler West.
Yeah, so he came to me about a year ago and said, I have this show. Should I do it for a live theater workshop, et cetera, or should I do it for Fringe? I said, you should do it for both. He did. He sold out his Fringe show. I pushed him to go to the San Diego Fringe. He sold out at San Diego.
That's fantastic.
He's going to Minneapolis, Indianapolis, and he may be going to Sydney Fringe next year, too. So,
wow, that's really exciting.
Yeah, and here's this kid who just graduated from the U of A, not quite sure where he was going to go, and now he's got a year of the festival circuit.
That's fantastic. On the horizon. Good for him.
Yeah.
We'll hear great things from him, I'm sure.
Yes, Tyler West. Remember the name.
He definitely got off the couch.
absolutely. I think that's our goal today. That's our mantra now, is get off the couch.
You can listen to this in your car. Come on.
Absolutely. On the way to downtown to do awesome things.
So one more thing, Michael. You have a venture program. Is that different from the Perspectives program in what way?
The Persistence Project was specific to female artists because what I have found in working with artists and community is that at least it used to be, I'm not sure how it's going to go this time, it used to be very difficult for women to come in as artists and ask for support, while men would come in and assume it.
Interesting. Okay.
So we wanted to sort of level that. I mean, we have programs for LGBTQ. We're looking at expanding our Latino program in part because we just want people to know if you feel like you need to identify, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That what you are as an artist is also, and we don't want to say this out loud, but you're also a product. So you do the art thing and then figure out how to be an artist. And if we can, we'll sort of raise some money for you so that you can do your dream. Now, we donated to Tyler's GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. But if I'd have got a hold of Tyler first, I would have said, just run it through us. You wouldn't lose like 8% of everything.
Right.
This is the kind of project that if you have a dream and it's good and we know you're going to work on it, we'll help you raise money for it. Because artists need venture capital as much as somebody who's creating an app.
Right. Absolutely.
Because at some point, even if you're trying to play a game on your phone, that game was put together by not just engineers, but also artists who made a brilliant world.
They make it pretty.
And they have to come up with all those avatars. It's weird.
Yeah.
We want to be able to empower them. And in some cases, you know, if it's something we feel like it can be a big deal, we do have a fair amount of connections to get them to different places across the states. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons we're doing the Nicole's Home, is we want to give those women a chance to get into a fairly big size hall. There's 500 seats at the Leo Rich. Get some video in there so they have that and really splash them up. Because one of the artists I've contacted about doing this, a woman named Shazelle Rodriguez, fantastic hip-hop artist, fantastic singer, wonderful dancer. And she should be famous.
Yeah.
She's just flat out be famous. So. Yeah. You know, we want to help people do that, not just be famous, but also if they make a bunch of money, maybe they'll think of us and send us a donation. That's how I could
mention you at the Oscars,
yeah,
or at the Grammys.
I'll mention them, I promise.
I'm still waiting for a student to thank me in their Tony speech. So,
that would be wonderful. That would be so. You watch every year so that you can,
just in case.
This is such a great town for the arts, and people come here for the arts. I mean, we get 100,000 people for All Souls, and they're not all in town.
Oh yeah, and it's a marvelous event.
And it's participatory. I mean,
oh yeah,
people come down to Tubac, for example, for the festivals, and that fills up the whole town. The little arts festival down there—it's crazy.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I'd have to park in Tumacockery.
Well, they have buses. You know, they have their little tour, the little shuttles that take you into. Yeah, I go park out on the outskirts and shuttle in.
And that's, you know, that's the kind of thing that I think Tucson is beginning to realize, and Tucson business community is beginning to realize, is that being a part of the community means being a part of the wonderful artistic community we have. We've had theater companies win Tonys, like Rogue.
Yes.
Heck, I even won an award from the American Association of Community Theaters. And you know, I'm way down there on like fancy awards here. But most of our organizations, you can look it up, get NEA grants. Mm-hmm. We're really strong, and we have a lot to offer to the business community. And
absolutely. So before we wrap up, because we're going to wrap up in just a few minutes, tell me how that business community can get in touch with you, Michael, and then Marianne.
Just write me directly at michael@stradacompany.org. Strada is Italian, Strada, company.org. We have a number of ways that you can help artists and arts organizations and get your name out there. And we throw a pretty good party, too. So if you want to come to the Harry Potter Charity Ball, you're going to have to let me know pretty soon.
What are the costs on that Harry Potter Ball?
$15 for students and $50 for professors. Professors, the VIP. we wanted to keep that $15 price so it wasn't too much of an access barrier for artists to come, but for everybody to be able to afford it, as opposed to just a straight up $90 gala where, you know, there's nobody there under 90.
Right.
we wanted to make it, and that's why 70% of our audience last year that attended was between 20 and 40. There's no arts organization that can claim that.
That's exciting.
That is so very exciting and very true. What about you, Marianne?
I can be reached at TucsonFringe@gmail.com, or they can go to our website, TucsonFringe.org. And as far as sponsors are concerned, our big push on our website happens in December, so anytime before December, and that's when our program goes to print as well. So anytime in the next few months.
Perfect. Well, I want to give a big thanks to everybody who listened to the show today, and to you, Michael and Marianne, for being here.
Thank you so much.
You're fantastic guests. I really enjoyed meeting you and getting to hear all about all the wonderful things you're doing in Tucson. And I want to thank the Stewart Title Studio on Tucson Business Radio X for this lovely location that allowed us to do this. And again, this is Robin Young from Arts and Commerce on Tucson Business Radio X. We'll be right back.